Parables of Matthew 13 are jewels. They're gold mines. They're treasures. They're diamonds, rubies. The city paved with gold. All of these things. We looked at the parable of the sower. We looked at the parable of the end of the age. We looked at the kingdom of heaven as like a treasure. We know that now we are the treasures that God came seeking. We are the pearl of great price that God came seeking. And that he gave up everything that he had. The Son of God became flesh and dwelt in a world, a cesspool of humanity. A cesspool of humanity that abused him. And yet he spoke words of wisdom, words of life for 3.5 years during his ministry. And even before that, at times. But now in the 51st chapter, he asked them, have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. He said to them, for every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of all of a household, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and things old. And it came about when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And coming to his hometown, he kept on teaching them in their synagogue. He came to Bethlehem. Bethlehem means, or not Bethlehem, but Nazareth, that is. Nazareth means a root. Now, he was a root out of dry ground. Remember, one of the disciples, he said, they said, come and listen to Jesus. He's from Nazareth. And he said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, Jonah came out of that area, in that region, Galilee. But now we have the Son of God coming to the town where he was born. And he began and kept on teaching in the synagogue, in their synagogue. It wasn't his. The synagogues had not become God's synagogues. They were Judaism's synagogues. And so that they became astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Where did he get it? Where did this man get it? Did they know him? Had he got up there from the time that he was a youth and read the law, and then he got up there and he read the word of God to them, and they tried to kill him? He said, this day this is fulfilled. He talked about him being the Messiah, and they wanted to kill him. Is not this the... the translation is carpenter's son. But the word technos there, it also means stonemason. And there aren't any carpenter terms used in Jesus' messages. It is stonemason's term. So let's look at it, what it probably says. Isn't this the stonemason's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Now, Mary had other children, Catholicism. Aren't his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Now, how many brothers did he have? 1, 2, 3, 4. So she had at least 5 boys and girls. So we have 5 boys and how many girls? She had probably 7 or 8 children. She was not conceived in immaculate conception. She was not carried up into heaven. She was a woman that God used to bring forth his Messiah. And his sisters. Now, it's more than one because it's plural. So there's at least 2 or 3 or 4. And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all of these things, get all this information, all this truth? Many times, you know what a PK is? Do you know what a PK is? That's a preacher's kid. Many times preacher's kids never look up to their fathers like the world does. Many times, I want to tell you a story, and I'm looking up here for a book that he wrote, and there it is right over there. There was a man one time by the name A.W. Pink. He was a very humble man. He was a brilliant scholar, but he was a humble man. And during his lifetime, he didn't really mean, he was nothing. But people discovered his writings, and they started printing his writings. And almost every preacher has got some of A.W. Pink's writings in their library. During his time, his people loved him and everything else, but it didn't go any further. That great preacher in London that had 10,000 people in that tabernacle there in London, his fame spread far and wide. But A.W. Pink was more of a scholar than he was. But he was a quiet man. And yet today, Pink works live on, and his contribution to Christianity and to the library of ministers of the gospel is great, unfathomable. I've loved his work. I read every word in his books. But he was not respected in his time like he should have been. Many people, John Gaynell, Struble Stearns, these are Baptist preachers in this country. And they were abused, they were beaten, they were outcast, and yet in church history today there are great men. In their time, that sometimes people would try to kill them while they were preaching in the pulpit. They were Anabaptist. They rebaptized people that came to them from any other denomination were Anabaptist. Struble Stearns was abused. John Gaynell was abused. But yet they left pages of history, churches that were converted, people that were converted to God's Word. John Gaynell, they say, baptized George Washington and led him to the Lord, his preaching. These men that go all the way back, some of them even go back into Abraham Lincoln's life, freedom of religion, back in his time. Too bad he didn't listen to some of his ancestors and take heart with them. He was, most of his close family said he was an atheist. Yet he come from wonderful stock. Wonderful stock. Obadiah Holmes, the man that was beaten for preaching the gospel, that was his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. The freedom of speech, which he didn't believe in, by the way. Any northern newspaper that wrote against him and his what he was doing in the Civil War went to jail immediately without habeas corpus, and all their property was confiscated and probably never got it back. Anybody that would propagate his hellish war would be financed. A prophet many times is not a prophet in their own time. Obadiah Holmes, John Gaynell, Struble Stearns, these people, and even Menno Simmons. Go look at Menno Simmons. Menno Simmons was a converted Catholic priest. And they named the Mennonites, and they were Anabaptists also. And John Calvin and Luther both had them killed. Luther's and Calvin's descendants later on apologized for that because they didn't understand anything about freedom of religion back in their time at all. They believed in church-state religion because they came out of the Catholic Church. That's why. Baptist separation of church and state, that is an absolute jewel, a pearl of great price, a treasure among Baptist tenets, doctrines. His mother is called Mary, his brother James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. And his sisters, aren't they all with us? And where did this man get all of these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown and in his own household. John, the first chapter. John chapter 1. Let's look at this, John's writing. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. John's writing. This is John the Baptist now. And he came for a witness, that he might bear witness to the light, that all might believe through him, by the agency of him, Dia. He was not the light. This person, John the Baptist, was not the light, but came that he might bear witness to of the light, or of the light. And there was a true light which comes into the world, enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made by the agency of him, though the world did not know him. And he came to his own nation, his own people, and those who were his own did not receive him. A prophet is not a prophet in his own home. But as many have received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, bloods, literally, nor of the will of the flesh. Remember, I told you, you don't follow God. You don't come, you don't seek God. God seeks you. Nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Revelation 21, Revelation 19 tells us that the fulfillment of the Word of God. The Word of God is Jehovah, the Old Testament. That's what it says there. The Word, the Jehovah, flesh he became and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. God didn't beget any more children. Jesus didn't marry Mary and Martha or anybody else. God came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world to fulfill Genesis 3:15 that he promised. And John bore witness to him and cried out, thus was he whom I said, he who comes after me is higher than rank than I am, and he existed before me. Even though Jesus was 6 months younger than John. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through, be realized through Jesus the Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God, that one being inseparable from God, that one being in the bosom of the Father, that one has led himself out. And this is the witness of John, when the Jews sent to him priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? Rejection, rejection, rejection. And he confessed, I do not deny, and he confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, who then are you? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he said, no. Now he really was Elijah, come in Elijah in spirit. And they said to them, who are you? And so why may we give an answer to those who sent us? And what do you say about that? He said, I am the voice crying of one in the wilderness, make straight the way of Jehovah. That's Jehovah he's talking about. And Isaiah the prophet said, Isaiah 40 and verse 3. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him and said to him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? And John answered them, said, I baptize in water. I dip in water. I immerse in water. But among you stands one who you do not know. You do not know. You don't want to know. He comes after me, and the thong whose sandal I am not worthy to untie. These things took place in Bethany beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. And the next day Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. This is the Messiah. This is Genesis 3:15 fulfilled. John 1:14. John 1:18. John 1 and 1. And this is he unto whom I said, After me comes a man who is higher ranked than I am, for he existed before me, and I do not recognize him. But in order that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing, dipping, immersing in water. And John bore witness, saying, I have beheld the Spirit descending as a dove out of the heaven, and he remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize, dip in water, immerse in water, said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes you in the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and I have borne witness. This is the Son of God. This is him. This is Genesis 3:15. This is the Son of Woman. Verse number 58. He did not do many miracles there in that place because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Because I did not want to believe. I can assure you that the Spirit of God was convicting them. And when the Spirit of God convicts mankind, he does one or two things. He either gets mad or gets glad. Which way have you received the Word of God? Mad or glad? Our Father, we send this message out to honor and glorify you, your Son, the whole holy triune God that you are, and that you made us in your image to love us, to come to us, to call us unto glory with you. Father, please use your message wherever it goes for honor and glory. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.